This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show is manifesting your intentions. Perfect topic. And I'm going to be talking about how important it is in the process of manifesting your intentions is to really change habits. In fact, intention and change are bed partners. We can't have one without the other, kind of like that song that there used to be. But the thing is, it isn't changing all habits. It's just really changing the habits that basically keep us limited in the old patterns of behavior, in our old ways of thinking, and those old emotional responses. But I'm going to be talking about intention. I'm going to be talking about change and the importance in it. We're certainly being supported energetically for our intentions manifesting themselves. I'm going to talk about the difference between intention and attention, because there's a huge difference. And then just sharing some insight, because right now the energy, like I said, is supporting us to be able to take those deep dreams that we have that have been maybe pushed under the rug or put back in the closet just because life got in the way or responsibility got in the way or time got in the way, whatever it is. But the universe is now saying, because we've asked for it and is supporting us, let's pull those intentions out. Let's dust them off. Look at them again. See if they need to be updated, because a lot of times we make our intentions very, very early on in our, you know, either in our career world or in raising our children or in the things that we think we want to be when we grow up. But let's dust them off and then let's look at change. So that's what today's show is all about. I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have any questions for me, maybe about the topic of intention or also about your health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S., Canada, and also international callers. Just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. I also wanted to let you know that I just posted for purchase on my website the audio download from my first inaugural telegathering, the ABCs of Surefire and Lasting Weight Loss. It's on my website, www.ritberger.com. During this 90-minute program, my guest, natural living expert Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, is on the call with me. And what we're doing is we're discussing how can we lose those 20 to 30 pounds in 3 months. Not by eating less, but actually eating more of the right foods. And then what can we do to jumpstart our metabolism? That really is a very, very important aspect of weight loss. Our body becomes very comfortable with its set point, as it's called. We have to really work extra hard to be able to get that set point change. We can do that physically, but what I bring to the audio download is that we can use the power of our mind to also change the set point of the body. So as a medical intuitive, I look at the holistic aspect of weight gain and why those pounds seem to hang on no matter what we do. And then Dr. Susan comes in, and then she also looks at it from the physical standpoint, but both of us look at it from the emotional standpoint and the importance of self-esteem. When we have low self-esteem, we tend to hang on to the weight that we have. When we have high self-esteem, it jumpstarts our metabolism. So a lot of interesting information, really practical information, a lot of information that we hope inspires, but not necessarily says, okay, so we're kind of in that place where you have to do 30 minutes here, 40 minutes there, you have to do this and that. We have to really honor our bodies. We have to learn to love our bodies where it is at the time that we start this process. And most important is it really has to fit within our daily lives and our activities. Part of the reason that weight loss programs fail is because they sound good. We're enthusiastic about doing it, but the reality of it is it doesn't fit into our daily lives. So when you have control of it, then the weight really starts coming off without even doing any kind of dieting. So it was a fun-filled 90 minutes, a lot of information. Received a a lot of positive feedback on the fact that it was practical, it was usable, it was something that even the people that emailed me and says, Carol, I'm a diehard, don't diet and don't exercise person, but you know what? I think I can probably do this. So again, 90 minutes in length. It is available for purchase on my website, www.ritberger.com. And there's even a try before you buy, so you can actually listen to a little bit of the telegathering itself, and just to be sure that it's something that you're interested in purchasing. So again, www.ritberger.com. Well, you know, it's interesting. Excuse me, as I was getting ready for this show, I really thought, you know, manifesting intentions, I do a lot of work around this, a lot of classes around this. But what I really found is that, you know, if we all face it, that we all fall short in some way of not always making the right choices. But at the time, we make those right choices because it's the best information that we have. But what we're doing is we're actually manifesting a habit versus manifesting our intentions. And that was real pivotal for me as I was putting together the show, and then also in the channeling that I'm doing on abundance, is to really realize that if we don't have a clear picture of what those intentions are, and we don't gather the information and do our homework before we start the plan to put those intentions in place, actually what happens is the desire is there, but the habit from old patterns is also there, and the old patterns will actually come in and override the intention itself. English poet Don Dryden said, "We first make our habits, and then our habits make us." How true this is, isn't it? Because when we actually form those habits in the very beginning, they're actually created because we have the information that's needed in order for us to be present in the moment and to move forward. So the habits really do serve us well when we create them, because they are part of the motivation, they are part of the intention, they're part of the commitment. But then what happens is over the course of time, those habits seem to take over, and then we become our habits, because those habits create a sense of safety, a sense of comfortableness that adds a predictability to our life. While it's maybe not moving us in the direction that we want to go, it's still tolerable and it's still palatable to the mind to be able to stay there. Yet that if we go in and we start living by those habits that we created, you know, 10, 20, 30 years later, what happens is those habits create such mental limitations and all of the reasons why we can't do something, because we don't know if we can succeed or whatever, then what happens is our world actually starts to shrink. And then our willingness to be able to control the change that we need diminishes. It's like we know we need to change, but for some reason we just can't muster up what's needed in order to make that change happen. Now, intention is different than a habit, because intention is change. The aim of intention is to help us rise above and move beyond where we currently are. That can be in our life, in our health, and in our relationships. Intentions creates a sense of urgency to take action, and it actually heightens our awareness to where we're able to see the daily opportunities that life presents us. We become, in many cases, so conditioned based on our habits that unless it hits us between the eye or we get that cosmic 2x4, the reality of it is we don't even see the opportunities that are really presenting themselves before us. So intention says, take a deep breath, step back, look at the opportunities that are in front of you. And then it also reminds us that every day is a brand new day. It's a brand new beginning. It's a chance for us to reconnect with our dreams and desires. It reinvigorates our passions, and it helps us find ways to improve our quality of life. The purpose of intentions is to really rise above, move beyond, and improve the quality of our life. Intentions and goals aren't the same thing. Intentions are heartfelt. They're the part of that motivation that we just know we know, and we don't know how we're going to get there, but we're going to be willing to just take the step every single moment or every day to get us there, where goals are something that we actually create something. But intention doesn't at that point in time have any desire to create. All at once is just to start the momentum and change what's holding us back. However, what happens is, even though deep down inside we all manifest these intentions and we try to change what's working in life, not all of us are going to succeed. And part of the purpose of that goes back to what I was just saying, from the standpoint that we really have to look at the habits that are really the most comfortable to us, the ones that basically keep us in those comfort zones, that keep us limited in our thinking, and that basically are going to limit what we can believe we're capable of. Intentions are all about believing. It's believing that you can, and it's believing that you can even when the obstacles come forward from a standpoint where your mind goes, I don't think you can do this. The intention goes, oh, yes, you can do this. So what we do with intentions, there's no judgment attached to it. There's no negativity attached to it. The only emotion that we feel when we touch our intentions is joy and love and peace and happiness. We get that burning passion, that desire that's deep down inside to be able to make things happen, to make a difference in our lives and others. So that's really what intention is all about. So when we come in and we don't get those parts of our life where we feel those passions and we feel those intentions bubbling to the surface, that really is the biggest indicator in our behavior that we really do need to stop. And like the cliche says, smell the roses, take a deep breath and look at your life. But the difference is, don't look at your life for what you haven't done. Don't look at the failures. Look at the opportunities that every day brings to you. There's a famous quote from Frank Outlaw that I think offers insight into how habits are formed and the role that these habits play in our mental stronghold that they have over the way that we think. So here's his quote. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, because it becomes your fate. Very, very important to remember those words. And the reference in character in this quote is that the character that he's talking about is that learned part of behavior of what we, you know, at the time we think that it's the best thing for us. At the time it probably is, in all honesty, but then it becomes the mental trappings that allows those dreams to get pushed further and further back in the closet. So what I want to do now is I'm going to continue talking about intentions. I'm going to talk about the role personality plays in it, because it's very, very important. Your personality is really what defines how you gather information and make decisions. It's your hardwiring. When you follow that hardwiring and who you are, then your intentions manifest and flow very freely. And when you operate behavior other than who you are, then the intentions get pushed back into the closet. So lots of wonderful information. I'm going to jump in now. Let's take a call. Hi, Ophelia. How are you today? Wow, you're calling from Singapore.
Yes, hi, good morning. I caught you a couple of weeks ago, and I took your advice.
Line one.
I took your... Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
All right. Let's see if we can...
Hello?
See if we can get Singapore on. Line one?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Oh, I can. Thank you. I can hear you loud and clear now. Wonderful. Thank you for calling me all the way from Singapore.
Well, it's my honor to be able to talk to you. I caught you a couple weeks ago, and I took your advice and took spirulina. So I was wondering, how do you feel my kidney is right now?
Much better, much better. And thank you for calling me back. I don't always get feedback. Much better. But the interesting thing, honey, the thing that I pick up with the kidneys being better is the fact that the liver actually feels like the spirulina is helping it in the red blood cell count production, that part of it, the coagulation of the blood. It feels like you're absorbing the minerals and the nutrients from the things that you're eating better. So when I really go in and touch the effects of spirulina, I'm touching it more in the liver than I actually am in the kidneys. But the two go hand in hand, because they're both part of the waste management process of the human body. So the kidneys feel much better. You should probably, when I go in and touch it, have you noticed, I know this is going to sound really strange, and we always do these things on radio, have you happened to notice that the color of the urine is different and the smell of the urine is different?
I actually can't see, because my toilet bowl is actually blue, dark blue in color, so I really cannot observe the urine.
Okay, very good. So, but I can, when I touch it, I can tell you that the smell of it is much more clear. Hang on a second. I had a kidney talking to me. That was very interesting. I'll come back to that. But what it is I can actually pick up energetically that there's a difference in the quality of the urine and the quality of the smell. So that lets me know that your body is getting rid of the toxin, and it's not holding it into the body as long as it usually was doing, to the point where it was creating kind of this unhealthy energy in the kidney. Uh-huh. Now, when I said the kidney was talking to me, what a woo-woo thing that was for me to say. But one of the things that I want to say to you is that the kidney, when I talked about that, I said it talked to me. Your right kidney came in and said, you know, Carol, I want you to take her a little direction. The left kidney goes, I'm okay over there. But the right kidney wants me to ask you to go in and let's go to the next layer. Let's go down into some emotional work. And I'm just going to give you a word that came up in the kidney, and that's resentment. And if you can find things in your life that you're doing that you're feeling resentment around, and then just very methodically, kind of like spirulina, very methodically go in and chip away one thing at a time, not everything, but one thing at a time that just irritates you, let's say it that way, that just irritates you, and you can do that by shifting your perception of it. You can look at it from the standpoint that maybe you don't need it anymore. Maybe it's not serving you well. Maybe it's time for changes to happen. But look at it that way. But the word that came up in that right kidney, it's kind of whispered in my ear where it choked me up. It said, just ask her to start letting go of resentment one little baby step at a time. And what that's going to do is, my sense is, it will take a lot of that energetics that I have around that right kidney, because it feels like energetically, it feels like a hand kind of cradling and holding that kidney, which is very favorable when we think about it, except that hand is resentment. And again, just baby steps, sweetie. You don't have to do all of it at one time. Just one thing that you could do today that maybe just bugs you, maybe irritates you, and then what can you do to change that? That will help. But physically, the kidneys feel a lot better. The liver is really doing much better. So good job.
So do I still continue eating it until the whole bottle is finished?
I would. Now, what I would do is I would, let me ask your body, because I got mixed messages. Yes, I would finish the bottle, but your body says that you don't need it every day. Why don't you try it every other day?
Okay, I understand.
Yep. And then what it'll do is it will help, it'll give your body a chance to adjust and build off of itself to be able to do what it's designed to do. But the spirulina is giving you that, the buildup of the red blood cell count, and your blood cells, your red cells look a lot better to me. So that, are you feeling more energy? Have you noticed that?
Yes, I've been feeling better recently.
Yeah, good. So there's feedback. Your body's giving you feedback that whatever you're doing is working well. But I would probably go every other day right now.
Okay, I understand. Thank you very much.
You are most welcome. Thank you again for calling me. Hi, let's take line two. Emily from California, how are you?
Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you?
I have a question about my foot. The doctor said I broke my sesamoid about 6 months ago, and it's not healing well, though then the x-rays have all said that it's not broken, it's just sesamoiditis, so it's the ball
mm-hmm.
of my foot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really confused on how to treat it, and it just keeps, like, it will get better, and then I love exercise, so I'll start exercising, and then it'll get worse again.
Yeah. My job's never to negate a doctor, but I'm going to tell you, I am searching your foot like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting a break. I'm not even getting a hairline fracture.
I don't think it's broken, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting anything from it, honestly.
Okay.
I mean, I'm searching everywhere. I'm going into the joints. I'm going into all the whole foot skeletal structure, and nothing there. There's a couple things that I am picking up when I go into the foot that probably, and I know you said you liked exercise, but probably look at some different ways to be able to either stretch before. The thing that first jumped out about the foot is I can go to the inside of the foot, and I'm getting a lot of inflammation and tension in the Achilles tendon.
Okay.
And what I'm getting is that tendon is holding your heel down. It's not giving you flexibility. It feels like it's whenever you're walking or you're exercising, it's like that leg and that Achilles tendon goes stump, put that foot right there and don't you move. Dig that heel in, don't you move. And it's rocking, excuse me, it feels like it's rocking you back. And what it's doing is it's taking the pressure off of the front of your foot and the ball of the foot because it's pushing you back, and your toes are gripping like crazy trying to balance your foot.
They do grip, yes, that's true.
So my sense is what we have going on, if you could stretch differently, or maybe what you want to do is with the inflammation, and there is inflammation in that area right now that's causing this dynamics I was talking about, that's putting wear and tear on the ball of the foot. The other thing is that the ball of the foot, that padding, feels like it's migrating a little bit forward toward the toes, and that's part of the process that you've been having this for a long, long time, the way that your foot seats itself in shoes or you walk. So from that particular standpoint, I would probably do some stretching. I would do some hamstring stretching. It feels like your sacroiliac joint is a little bit tight. The pelvic girdle muscles, that floor muscles feel a little tight. And I think that's what we've got going on. And when you exercise, then what is happening is it's putting all this pressure on the heel, again, rocking you back. Toes are gripping and your foot is at odds. The front of your foot and the back of your foot are at odds with each other. And think of your arch and think of the ball foot. The tissue that's there is trying to just grip anything that it can.
Okay.
Another thing that just came in, because your foot just basically said to me when it, you know, I felt it kind of moving forward, and that's not unusual, especially for people that do a lot of exercise or as we age. But one of the things, have you thought about putting any kind of padding or gel pad or anything at the ball of the foot that could make up that little bit of rotating forward that I'm picking up that would give that part of the foot that feels like it doesn't have a lot of flesh on it, give it some cushion?
I have. I tried that yesterday, and it helped a little bit. Right now I'm in a walking cast again, but I have tried that.
Okay. The walking cast. Actually, positive things with walking cast. I know it's not where we want to be. However, what I tell you is it is balancing your foot.
Okay.
I have the Achilles tendon, but I have a foot that's balanced. Your toes aren't gripping for all, you know, they can, and I don't have you falling back on your heel the way that you do.
Okay.
So is it the walking cast something that you have the option of using for a short period of time and then taking it off?
Yes.
Perfect. When it gets to the place where you start to get the discomfort, you might just want to bite the bullet and then do that, because it does support the foot the way it needs. It is setting the sacroiliac joint, the pelvic girdle muscles and everything. It does help it. It takes a lot of the tension off of a pattern that has been there for a long time.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because I've also started to get it in the other foot. And the particular foot on the left foot has been right, like the one that's worse, but the right foot starting to get the pain.
Well, and the reason that it's getting the pain is because it's been trying to balance the left foot. And the pain that you're getting in the right foot is plantar fasciitis.
Okay.
So, again, stretching, I know that you do with exercising. Do you do yoga, hon?
I do, and that's sort of where it started. And then I got a massage where this Thai was completely, that's where it really inflamed the foot. So that's been a lot of my frustration, is that I can't do yoga right now.
Right. Well, you know what? Do some armchair yoga.
Okay.
And do some things so you can, and the reason I ask that is that we can let the bottom heal and do what it needs to, but if we can keep that, the spine from about the mid thoracic shoulder blades up and the neck, then that, the muscles in that lower back aren't going to get tight, and then you're going to, it'll allow your seat to seat the way that it needs to, and it'll take a lot of pressure and it'll stop the inflammation.
Okay. Okay, but you don't see a break either. That's good.
I don't. I mean, I'll tell you because when I'm going to say something that goes against a doctor, it's like, I better be darn sure. And man, I've been traveling that foot left and right.
Right. Well, it's interesting because even the MRI report didn't see a break. And he's just been kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I laugh. I've got a lot of doctors I work with, and they'll say to me, you know, gosh, Carol, you know, you're kind of way off. And it's like, well, you know, doctors get way off too. And we have this conversation and banter back and forth. And I said, you know, you don't know and I don't know. So what are we going to do? And then we all laugh and say, well, let's be a team. And you look at it one way and I'll look at the other. But again, and one of the things I always want to say is, you know, we do know our body better than anybody else, don't we, honey?
We do. That's true.
Anyway, but I don't even find a hairline, so there's nothing that's there. We're just dealing with a whole bunch of ligaments and a pattern.
Okay. Very good.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
your
call. My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Hi, me. Let's see. I'm going to go to line 3. Is it Kaya?
Hi, Carol. It's Kaya.
Hi, sweetie. How are you? Oh, I see what we're dealing with. How are you?
I'm wonderfully well. Thank you so much for taking my call. Let me tell you, in December and January, I felt this really strong intention and urgency to move staff in my legal matter, like that it was really imperative. And I made some inquiries and tried to shift. I felt like I needed to make a move in that area, and I had no success. And now all of a sudden, I don't feel any imperative to move at all, and things are kind of moving forward in my case. So I just wanted to check in with you.
Okay, so let's go in, because thank you for that, because I think that's a lot, not to take away your uniqueness, but I think we're all experiencing it in our own way just because a lot of the energy. So when you go in and you get that intention, or you get that insight or that intuition, call it whatever we'd like, that something needs to change, we start, even though we may not know what that is, we start the change at that time. So the momentum was kind of kicked in the bottom and off it went. And the thing was, something needs to change. Maybe it was your perception. Maybe it literally was the legal team. Maybe it was, you know, just kind of stepping aside and looking at it differently. But what occurs in intention is it creates that change. But if that change that we're looking to make is done out of frustration or anger or self-doubt or lack of trust or lack of confidence, and it brings up a lot of old patterns and everything, then we're going to think, because our intention brought it forward, we need to push this forward. You know, no matter what it takes, we're going to do it. But when we start getting resistance in that moving forward, maybe what's being said to us is, you just needed to bring it to the surface, look at it again, see what you needed to change, look at what you can control, start the process of change, at least go somewhere, but to recognize if the intention was done from the head, which my sense is it was, sweetie, if it was done from the head, we had fear chasing it down like a hound. And now where you are, it's kind of like, well, I tried that. That didn't work. It sucked. It's not going anywhere with it. And then your heart comes in and goes, well, now, wait a minute. It is in movement. There is change. The thing is that you don't have to work hard. And that's something, and thank you for that, sweetie. Intention is effortless. Attention takes a lot of concentration, and sometimes we hit that proverbial brick wall.
It was like running uphill in molasses, and I do know that when things are meant to work out, they work out effortlessly. So I thought, let me call my friend Carol.
Well, thank you for that, because I'll tell you what, you gave me a gift as well, and I think a lot of the callers, because, like I said, I didn't want to take away your uniqueness and individuality. But I will tell you, Kaya, we are all there right now. We think that because it seems so heartfelt that we need to go into the intention part of it. But the reality of it is, when it flows, and when it doesn't, that's how we learn that maybe our mind is driving it. Maybe old habits are driving it. So thank you for that. I needed that reminder today, just like I'm sure a lot of my listeners did.
So, Carol, when we look at my legal matter, and I won't go into all the details, but you probably remember what it is. I do. The complexities and mistakes. Am I still in good hands as I was at the end of last year?
I don't believe so. And I'll tell you why. And I think that's why.
I felt that urgency.
Yes, because I think that deep down inside, your heart said to you, we're repeating an old pattern. The people that are involved in it, the person that's involved in it, this is a pattern with that person, sweetie. And I think that what happened is somewhere your intuition said to you, we need to bring this to the surface and look at it again. So having said that, I do not think that the person that is handling this or the legal energy that's being thrown at it is where you want it to go. It mm-hmm. feels like in this process, the person that's basically feels like they're spearheading this part of it somehow has lost your intention and your desires in the process.
Right.
So there's things you can do. You could throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm not sure when I touch it, Kaya, that we want to get rid of the person. There's a lot of time and energy and money invested in this, sweetie, and, you know, is throwing it out the very best thing for you? I keep getting a no. But maybe it's such that it's important for you to go back and to revisit with that person and that team what the intention is.
Meeting with them right on the 27th.
Perfect. So what I encourage you to do, because we have to get that left brain, that attention part of the brain in the process, what you might want to do is to spend some time and look at what you want the outcome to look like when it's done. And just spend time with that. Does that mean that you have the financial resources to follow your dreams? Will that take a lot of the financial burden that's on you off of you? What does that amount of money look like? Are we looking at having the freedom? Are there things that you're going to have to give up for the money? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give up part of your authenticity in order to get the freedom to just get away from this? Those are the things. And once you do that, sweetie, commit it to a piece of paper. What it looks like when it's done, how you feel when it's done, what you look like when it's done, and what you can do once it's done.
Okay.
And when you do that, by the time you have that meeting, then what's going to happen is you can speak with such authority and clarity, and not authority in a contentious way, but with so much clarity that this person feels that they can be put back on track. They just feel like they got overloaded like the rest of us and overwhelmed like the rest of us and kind of lost sight of the process.
Mm-hmm. So it's still salvageable with this person.
I think it is. But I think where it is right now, it isn't. But I'm not. It just doesn't feel like we should just kind of throw that person away. I think that the intent that you connected with that person is still there.
Okay.
I can feel that the integrity and the truthfulness of that person is still there. They just feel like a lot of us. They've just kind of got buried under the minutia, and we just need to help them come above water and look around and see what's really what's meant to be. That's what it feels like to me. And I will tell you, if you do that and then you get through with the process and you have that uncomfortable feeling, then the next step is the change, is to find somebody or something else that's going to make it happen. It doesn't feel to me that's going to be what happens, though, sweetie.
Okay. Good.
Good.
Good. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Have a wonderful day. All right. I'm going to go in and take a very quick commercial break. I'm going to come back and talk about how we can create change for manifesting our intentions. And then I'm going to take some more calls. So please stay tuned. I'll be right back.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back, and if you are just joining me today, the topic of today's show is how to bring your intentions into reality. But we're talking about, in order to do that, we need to understand what intentions are versus attention. Intentions are heartfelt. Intentions really see things big. The bigger, the better. There's absolutely no limitations with intentions. Intentions is energy. If you think of it as being heartfelt energy, that when you connect with your intentions, your heart really is the impetus and the momentum behind those desires that you have. That's what an intention is. And when we look at attention, attention is what the mind does to put the intention into manifestation. Intention has no details. It has no finite aspect to it all. All it does is sees the great big picture. It's driven by our heart's desire, which makes it even bigger. And then attention comes in and says, wow, that's a picture. That's something that your heart's desire is there. So let me help you flesh out the details and put together the plan and the course of action that needs to be to help those intentions come in and to manifest in reality. Now, that sounds wonderful, except for the standpoint that over the course of our conditioning, what we find is that attentions take over intentions. So instead of having a bigger picture with no goals, attention says, well, let's put it in place. We need a goal. Well, goals and intention are not the same. So that's a flavor of what today's show has been about. I'm going to continue talking a little bit more about the dynamics of intention and attention, and then offering some different strategies that you can use to be able to get those intentions in the direction that you desire by harnessing the mind, not from old habits that are limiting, but habits that you create because they're empowering habits. Habits are not bad. We often think, well, we need to get rid of our habits. Well, not all habits are bad. Habits basically are patterns, and patterns serve us very well. There's a predictability about them. But when habits become unhealthy is when they're negative habits because they limit who we are or what we're capable of. So I'm talking about intentions and manifestation of them. I'm also taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about today's topic, intentions, or you have a question about your health, I'd love to share my medical intuitive skills with you. So you can call me at 877-230-3062. Again, that number is good in U.S. Canada and for international callers. Also, I just posted for purchase my audio and printable PDF from my January Your Health teleclass on my website at www.ritberger.com. The topic for the teleclass was herpes viruses. What an interesting topic that was to research and study, because what I found is that these herpes viruses really are more parasitic. They're not even really a living organism. So the only way that they can survive in the physical body is to basically take over a cell and then to change the DNA of the cell, the memory of that cell. So instead of that cell replicating itself and going through its natural life cycle and then dying in its natural life cycle, the herpes virus goes in, changes that DNA memory, it puts its own memory in there, and then that cell becomes an incubator for a whole bunch of little mini herpes viruses. And then what happens, the cell becomes so engorged with these viruses that it can't remain healthy, and instead of dying naturally, it basically bursts, it explodes. And when it does, it ruptures, and when it does, then all of these little baby viruses that have been duplicated by the mother virus, the herpes virus, basically infects the cells around it. And one of the things that I also am very familiar with as a medical intuitive is the fact that herpes virus, because it is parasitic and not really living, then antibiotics don't do any good. We can certainly use antibiotics to support the immune system so it has that extra boost and help that it needs, but to go about and to look at antibiotics to be able to eliminate the herpes virus from the body. It just doesn't do that. So there's a lot of things that we have to do from an alternative standpoint. And it isn't so much removing the herpes virus, because in reality, we know from science and research, that's not going to happen. Once our body is infected with a herpes virus, and there's actually many different strains of herpes virus, our body is going to be the home for that virus the rest of our life. But what we can do is we can create cellular health emotionally and physically through our thoughts, and then also through the things that we do for our immune system and our body, and getting rest and eating foods that are high in antioxidants and so forth, that we can actually stop the replication process of the herpes virus. So many people who have had a lot of outbreaks can, just with some diet changes and some mind changes, can literally stop the replication and not even experience another outbreak. So very, very interesting information. Also, one of the things that has been really found, that herpes is really associated with a lot of different illnesses, and those illnesses are multiple sclerosis, tremendous research supporting the connection between the two, Alzheimer's disease, and even current research over the last few years is showing that there's probably a connection between the herpes virus and then also breast cancer. So a lot of new information coming forward all the time. But this particular teleclass was a fun one to do. The printable PDF and the research that I did for it is actually 41 pages long. So it's really a very holistic perspective of how we can look at the herpes virus. So you can get my ABCs for surefire and weight, lasting weight loss, download, audio download, and then also the audio. And the printable PDF on herpes viruses, again, in all situations, there's always a try before you buy, so you can be sure that it's something that you find of value before you go ahead and purchase it. Well, I want to go in and I want to just share four simple strategies that we can actually do to help manifest your intentions. Reduce your intention down to a microscopic size. Remember I said when I started the show that intentions are big, the bigger the better. There's no limitations. It's rich with possibilities. The intuition is just sparking all of these ideas and all of the creativity associated with intention. And that's a fun part of intentions, and it's a necessary part of intention when we begin the process. But it's like taking that intention and then going down and breaking it down into size. So let me give you an example. If you want to start saving money, instead of going in and saying, okay, well, I'm going to save 10% of my paycheck every time I get one, maybe your cost of living doesn't accommodate that. So what we do is we try to save the 10%, because that's what the intention was, but the reality was it's just not going to happen. So when I talk about taking the intention down to a microscopic size, what I'm talking about is, what if you started saving 1% of your check every time you got one? In that particular case, that's doable. That takes the intention. It keeps that intention alive for that financial success or that financial freedom that may have been the whole root behind the intention itself, and it lets you know that you're making progress. You can actually see that 1% accumulating in your bank account. Once you do that, then you feel like you have a sense of control. Your mind and attention is supporting it. It's asking you, do you really need to buy that? Do you want to buy that? It's not trying to be your judge and jury around how you spend your money, but it's just following the intention is, I want to save money so I can have the freedom to maybe take a vacation, whatever that intention was. So if you started out in baby steps and bite-sized pieces, the pieces that are realistic, then the intention manifests. So, for example, if you decide that you want to lose weight, Dr. Susan and I talked a lot about this on the ABC of Surefire and Lasting Weight Loss. So one of the things is we all know that if we're going to move, we need to move, and that means some form of exercise. But a lot of times people will go in and go, they're going to buy go to a gym, and they're going to buy a membership to a gym, and then what they're going to do is they make a commitment to themselves, okay, when I get off work, or I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to go and I'm going to work out for an hour every day. But if we do that, that's all well-intended, isn't it? But if we look at our lifestyle, and maybe we have a lot of travel in our lifestyle, or we have children that are really kind of unpredictable when they wake up, or we need to get home because our babysitter needs to, you know, go home or something, maybe that's not realistic. So why don't we start with just 15 minutes a day? How about a walk? Just a simple walk around the block, a simple walk around a park, just getting outside and just having movement. By working microscopically, then what we can do is experience the intention and the success around it every day. Second thing we can do is create a standard related to the new habit that you're forming. Now, that's, in my personality, very yellow, and it's something that I do very well. But what I'm saying is that in that process of forming a new habit, what we don't want to do is we don't want that new habit to take on the habits of the bad habit. So what we have to do is be realistic about that habit, whether, again, it's exercise or money, or in my particular case, it's finding time every day to write, to work on my books and my PDFs and all the downloads and the things that I want to offer, is that some days my schedule just realistically doesn't allow me to do that. So by setting a habit, a new habit, I changed the old one because I always felt like, well, if I could have 4 hours, I could make great progress. I write one page a day. That's all I do, one page a day. Now, if I start writing that page a day and my mind is wandering in other places and my to-do list is too long, then what I do is I go in and I say, okay, well, maybe the standard is that one page a day is too much, because if I look at the overall lifestyle, what if I did a paragraph a day? Well, interesting, all of a sudden I did a paragraph a day, and then I was doing two paragraphs a day, and then I was doing three paragraphs a day, and all of a sudden now I'm doing a page a day, and I'm feeling very, very good about it. But the constraint is that I had to give myself the permission to not set myself up for failure. And the second thing is that I had to put it into a palatable process to the point where I controlled it, where I felt like I was actually gaining on it. And then my old habits wouldn't come in and then justify why I couldn't do that paragraph. Number three, focus on behavior and not results. Very, very important in manifesting intentions. If we focus on our behavior and not on the results, because, see, the mind has to flesh those results out. But if we focus on the behavior, what that does is it keeps us mentally, emotionally, and physically engaged in the intention, rather than looking to the future before we have the process in place, the pattern in place, the habit in place that's going to get us successfully there. I actually create a tracking sheet. Now, again, my personality is comfortable with that. There's personalities that are part of my listenership that's going, oh, my gosh, this is too mental. It's too much work. That's been more work, Carol, doing my tracking sheet than I would being able to do my intention. So we have to know ourselves. We have to know our patterns. But if you create a tracking sheet, then you can measure your progress around your intention. So what's a tracking sheet? It's a journal. Just sit down at the end of the day, look at what you did, look at what you did to move your intention forward. What did you do? Write it down. How did it make you feel? Write that down. 5 minutes. 5 minutes we can do that. But that gives us a benchmark that we can look at and say, oh my gosh, look at this. I'm moving my intention into manifestation. Number four. Create a supportive environment, because while willpower can help get you there, sometimes it's just not strong enough to ward off those old patterns associated with bad habits. A lot of times when we're not doing what we said we're going to do to ourselves, and that inner commitment and that willpower comes in and goes, well, you know what, you're going to do this. You are just going to do this. And then what happens is that life gets in the way and we don't. So what we need is we need a supportive environment. The problem with willpower is that it only acts on what we think about. So it's surrounding yourself with people that maybe are personalities like you, or people that are your cheerleaders, or people that are going to be able to support you, people that are going to say kind things to you, people that are positive, doing positive things. I'm so blessed with a lot of my listeners and the people in my database. They send me these absolutely wonderful testimonials to the work and how I've helped them. get the clarity that they're looking for. And I have a whole file of testimonials. Every testimonial that is ever sent to me from the time I started doing this work a long time ago is in that file. That's my archives. And when I get to a place where I'm tired or I ask that proverbial question like everybody, what the heck am I doing? And I ask that question, I just go in and my support system is all of your testimonials. And your names are there, your kind words are there. It gives me that process where I feel better about what I'm doing. I know I'm making a difference in the world, which is exactly, and in people's lives, that's my whole motivation in life. But sometimes I get so busy being busy, I forget about that. So you're my support team. And the testimonials are some my support team. As listeners, you're my support team. So find some ways to be able to get that support team. My little dog's my support team. Find some ways and think out of the box of what those support teams really look at. And remember that you become who you spend your time with, because people's expectations really do impact our self-perceptions. Healthy self-perception, healthy self-esteem, then intentions manifest in healthy choices, in a healthier quality of life, in good health in the body. And that's the manifestation that intentions are really designed to do. Very fascinating. Simple things we can do, baby steps we can do, and it makes a lot of difference in getting to where we desire. I want to go ahead and jump in. Hi, Sharon from Ohio. How can I help you, sweetie?
Oh, hi, Carol. Thank you for taking my call. I had called you over a month ago about a tooth, and we both weren't sure if it could be saved. It's a good thing I didn't try to save it. It was completely fractured.
Okay.
So thank goodness that I didn't try anymore, because I was getting sick. And even since I've had that extracted, you know, there was still some infection left. It's really hard for them to get it all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't do very much. And I don't know whether to focus on, like, the adrenals or the immune system.
Okay, good question. The thing that you want to focus on is the immune system. And there's a variety of ways that you can do that. What we want to do is we want to keep the immune system healthy enough that it can continue to fight that low-grade infection that's in your body. And I'm going to tell you where that infection is. It's down in your small intestines. It's kind of buried down into that deep lower gut of who you are. That's where I'm picking up the byproducts of the infection itself. So what you can do is the first thing is to focus on the foods that go in your mouth. You want those foods to support your immune system. You want those foods to be alkaline. You don't want them to be acidic. That'll throw the pH off in the small intestine, and that'll give that infection, that bacterial infection, because that's what it is, sweetie, it'll give it the environment it needs for it to continue to sustain itself while you're trying to heal it. Now, you could do low dosages of antibiotics. That is something a doctor would suggest. Actually, you feel like you've done that. Is that true? Did you do antibiotics?
No, not this time, but I have a lot of trouble taking antibiotics.
Okay.
I've done echinacea, golden seal, and some olive leaves.
Okay, good. Because when I asked that, when I was talking about that, it was like, oh my gosh, is she doing antibiotics? Because her body is getting better. So the echinacea, the golden seal, those are very, very beneficial. Does your body tolerate milk thistle?
Yes.
Okay. You don't need this for the rest of your life. You don't need it. I would say that if you continue what you're doing, maybe 7-10 days, get off of it for a day or two. Echinacea, do it for another 5. Get off of it for a week, get back on it. Because what it's doing is it's actually stabilizing the pH, but it's also supporting the immune system. So, but it feels like the liver needs a little bit of help getting rid of some of the waste byproducts from the bacteria itself. So you could do that, rest, sleep. You could also do the physical part where you could do castor oil packs on your small intestine. In fact, I can tell you exactly where I have this little conglomeration of the infection. If you were to take your belly button or navel, that's a more technical term, the navel, and you were to take your hand, your fingers, your thumb and your index finger and go 1 inch below your navel, there's where the bacteria is. So you could do some castor oil packs and pull some of the toxin and byproduct out of the skin in that area, and that's going to help the body get rid of it. It'll quell the inflammation response that you have. So you could do that. The other thing is that if that's the only place that it is, well, then let's surround it with the immune system. Let's get those little, you know, invaders, invader busters out there, and let's just kind of circle the wagons and surround it. Let's focus all the things that you put in your mouth, the rest, all the things for the immune system, and let's just kind of contain it. And if we contain it, then what's going to happen is then it's not going to have the perfect environment because it'll be alkaline. The foods that you eat, your body will utilize, the liver is being supported. Then what that's going to do is it will give you a sense that you are gaining on this, and then your adrenals are going to slow down.
Okay, that makes so much sense. I appreciate that because I never thought about it being in the intestine or the liver.
Yeah.
Was a little worried about it getting in the heart, but I think I'm past that.
No, you are so past that, sweetie. So what you want is the emotion that I have in there is guilt. We have a little tiny circle of guilt. Stop feeling guilty from the standpoint that you didn't act on it more quickly, because the reality of it is you act on it exactly when it needed to be acted on.
Oh, okay. And thank you for the radio show today. It was just perfect, you know, working on things like that too with intention. And I attended the workshop on the weight loss, and I have felt like exercising. My energy's down, but I'm really, really want to for the first time. So I appreciate everything you do, Carol.
Oh, well, thank you. Now, see, you just became part of my support system. Thank you for that, sweetie. My heart just smiled a big one. So I love you for that, and I love you, period, and just keep on doing what you're doing. Well, I have to go ahead and end the show. Thank you for joining me. It's been a wonderful time to spend with you. I'm going to see you next week on the radio. Have a wonderful week.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.